Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Bill Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. It's a feel-good Friday here on Boomer and Geo, and it's brought to you by Surfside. Surfside iced tea and vodka, sunshine in a can. That's right.
Sunshine in a can. I'll tell you what, dropping that three last night, that was a little sunshine.
That was a little sunshine, man, in your can.
I've watched that, you know, we watch it live and then you watch it this morning. We've seen it like 10 times. That crossover move is ridiculous. I mean, that's that is like just an individual talent that somebody has that you just can't recreate.
Yeah, I mean, and also you got to think about how exhausted he is at that point in the game. His ankles aren't 100%, and he's able to shed a defender like that and get an open shot. And he even said in the postgame, he's like, you know, it was a little earlier than I wanted to shoot it, but it was so wide open that I had to take it because they left 4 seconds on the clock. So, yeah, you can't blame him for that.
Did you see his left foot slid, too?
Yeah.
Like, so it wasn't like he wanted to do it on a dime, but he slid a little bit.
He also slid on that layup, too, and I was like, oh, man, he almost went down. He was
slipping all over the place last night.
Yeah. Yeah, they got to mop that court. Who mops those courts? Are those, like, full-time employees? They hire those guys, like, independent contractors?
I want to say moppers. Game by game.
Oh, God, here we go again with the rumbling in this building.
I mean, that's really rumbling.
Yeah.
Man, you know what? Google's in this building or had been in this building.
Yeah.
You know what Apria told me yesterday? He goes, like, during the weekends, like, there's stuff coming out of this building because Google puts so much money in their floors here that they don't use. And I mean, what do you mean stuff coming out of this building? He's like, you know, like, really nice stuff.
So is he stealing?
No, he's not. But I think he's claiming that somehow whatever what was left behind is leaving. And I don't know. I don't know what he was trying to say.
You know, he's like one of those underground dark web guys. Like, he's got all sorts of conspiracy things. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if
he's a dark web guy.
Probably. That's just a guess.
I don't know. The way he was saying it to me yesterday was as if he was witnessing this.
Okay. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that goes on out there.
And we have all this building shaking going on because there's a lot of work being done to the roof, to the front of the building. You know, internal floors, they're taking stuff out.
A lot of action this morning. Maggie and I were walking in. We ended up showing up at the same time, so we had to have that awkward talk to each other thing going on.
Okay.
You know? I mean, it's like, and she doesn't want to talk to me either, by the way.
Why doesn't she want to talk to you?
Because you know what it's like. At that early in the morning, you do this every day. You're like, you want to walk in by yourself. Then now I'm like, I got to try to say something. It's the same thing.
See, like, listen, this is where you and I differ. I see Maggie. I see, like, sunshine. I see happiness. I see somebody that's, you know, fun to talk to, knows her
when
stuff.
She first gets out of the car, she's just like me. There's no sunshine. It's like this.
No, you are the dark, cloudy guy that's coming in from an hour and a half commute in the morning. You're pissed.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair.
But it takes you a while to get going around here. I understand all that.
Yeah. So, I mean, but I think it's the same with her. I think it takes her a while to get going as well. You see her when she's ready to go for the program. When she first climbs out of that car, it's like a... It's like a newborn possum, you know? It's like the little eyes are kind of shut, confused. Where am I going? What am I supposed to do?
I don't know. I see a ray of sunshine. I don't know. I don't know what you see or what you're dealing with.
Well, she's great. We had a nice conversation.
But it shouldn't be awkward.
But it always is. It just is. It's just the way that it goes.
You guys were real colleagues over there at the Upside Down.
No, we weren't, no.
Was she not working there when you were there?
No. Nope.
Was she working here when you were there?
Yeah.
That was the CMB when you were there?
No, I was here. I started at the same time at CMB. I'm the last of the Mohicans from that particular shakeup. The last one standing.
That was a shakeup, right?
Yeah. So, and then she ended up going over there, did the whole moose thing. And yeah.
That's right. They had the Maggie and the Moose thing.
They did have Moose and Maggie. They had Taz and Moose. They had Moose and Moose. They had everything.
Moose has made it on. That Moose, he's a hanger-oner.
Oh, yeah. He's a fighter.
He's a worker.
Is he still at, what is it, PIX 11?
Yeah.
Working his ass off over there?
Yes.
The big Moose.
Yeah, it's
probably
like
doing some Knicks.
CeeLo on SNY, Sirius, here. Can't get a steady job.
I saw that Odyssey bet employee that was let go is now on SNY. That Lucille Burge, Al?
Oh, Lucy, yeah.
Yeah, Lucy Burge.
I think that was just a couple guest spots, I think.
Yeah. But she was landing on her feet over there on SNY, so good luck to her. As there was,
it's an ever-changing business, Boomer, you know what I'm saying?
Ever-changing landscape, that's for sure.
It's an ever-changing media landscape.
Yeah, you'd like to be in a solid spot, know that you're going to be there for a while.
Damn right.
Takes the edge off, that kind of thing.
It definitely does take the edge off. But anyway, yeah, so we were, Maggie and I walking in, we were talking about the guy yesterday who called in, Jake from Boston.
Yes.
And how she thinks that man was a reporter that's like trying to get all the dirt on Belichick. I was like, I can't argue with it. I mean, the guy, he was either a reporter, he's one of those internet sleuth people that wanted to, he wants to dig and put the stuff up there. And he referenced Turtle Boy, who was the internet celebrity that has been carrying on about Karen Reed being innocent for many years now. So he's like the Turtle Boy of Jordan Hudson and Bill Belichick. And he's on those message boards. But he was going Caroline Leavitt. He was going, the previous girlfriend. He was deep diving that guy, Jake.
He was. Yeah, maybe it's a Maine and New Hampshire thing. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe. But Belichick's going to be, I saw, Al, you said on your show sheet, Belichick's going to be in the city for some award or something or some event.
Tuesday, he's sitting down with a professor of NYU to have a chat that's free to the public to go to, and it's promoting his book.
Ooh, here we go. Here we go.
You know they had to clear all those questions.
Damn right they did. You think Jordan's going to sit in a chair right next to Bill up there?
No, not if this is open to the public or not, no.
I bet you she did. She could write in the front
row. Let me ask you a question. We were talking about Miss Hancock.
Yeah, right.
And you said that is what, in 2 weeks?
Yeah, 2 weeks.
And she is entered in that?
She is.
Yeah, she won Miss Hancock last year, and she's back in Miss Hancock this year.
To me, that's going to be the thing. That would be the one that would garner the most attention, I got to believe.
Yeah, because then she's the center of attention there. And then, yeah, but I mean, there's not going to be any controversy coming out of that. She's just a pageant. You know, it's like when these interviews happen.
Now, if you are the Miss America pageant and you are Miss, what is it, Miss Maine, I guess would be?
Maine, right? Yeah, Miss Hancock then goes to Miss Maine, yeah.
I mean, I would hate to be one of these other gals in the Miss Maine. I mean, like, you want promotion.
It's like Dylan Gabriel.
Right, exactly.
And Shador Sanders shows up.
Right, exactly. This
supposed to be my moment.
Happen. I mean, like, she's got to win Miss Maine because, the Miss America folks, I did that 1 year, so I know how important promotion is to that brand.
Right.
This is right up their alley.
They have to, which is unfair to the other contestants. I agree.
You want to get eyeballs.
And if you're Jordan Hudson,
sell your sponsors.
Right. And Jordan Hudson's probably thinking, like, man, like, I everybody can say what they want to say, but I earned this.
That thing, yeah.
Yeah, if you're running those pageants, you're putting her up there as much as possible.
Hopefully she's got a good platform, and hopefully she has some good talent.
Yeah.
I mean, she has the other parts.
Well, sure. Yeah. Remember that answer? Every time I think about a pageant, I think about that Miss Alabama answer when she had no idea what she was talking about. Remember that whole thing?
With maps?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Can you find that? Do you remember this, Boomer? Oh, it was so bad.
I think we played it.
Yeah, I'm sure, many years ago. But it was as bad as it gets. And every time it comes up, I have to watch it again because I'm like, I'm flabbergasted every single time I hear the answer.
Trying to think. I think I did the pageant in 98, and I want to say the winner was Miss Virginia.
Okay.
I can't believe I remember that.
That's pretty good. All right, let's...
I don't think she was a diabetic.
Oh, really?
And I think that was her platform.
Okay, very nice. Yeah.
This was a Miss Teen USA 2007.
Oh, this is the teen.
South Carolina.
South Carolina teen.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, hold on, let's see.
Okay. Recent polls have shown a fifth of Americans can't locate the U.S. on a world map. Why do you think this is?
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so because some people out there in our nation don't have maps, and I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa and the Iraq, everywhere like such as, and I believe that they should, our education over here in the U.S. should help the U.S. or should help South Africa and should help the Iraq and the Asian countries, so we will be able to build up our future for our children.
Thank you very much.
Such as the Iraq. Oh, it's just classic. Classic stuff. I mean, really. Last time you heard that was a long time ago. Almost 20 years ago.
Now, yes.
Yeah, I mean, it was just one of the best pieces of audio ever generated. So, yeah, Jordan Hudson's probably a little bit more prepared than that young lady for Miss Hancock, seeing that she won Miss Hancock last year. But I'm with you, man. Sponsors, eyeballs.
Come on,
man. If you're the Miss America pageant, you are the people that are running Miss Maine. You got to prop her up. You got to put her on billboards. Come see Jordan Hudson, right?
I would think so. I mean, she's everywhere now. I mean, unfortunately, for a lot of the wrong reasons, but nonetheless, I mean, this is her passion, right?
Yeah,
that and Tar Heel football.
Certainly,
and I guess landlording
as well. Yeah. So is that on a weekend or a weekday, Al? The Miss Hancock.
I was trying to get a date for Miss Hancock. It says, actually, it's taking place. It says it took place yesterday.
Oh, what?
Because the actual Miss Maine takes place the middle of the month.
Oh.
So how do we not know who won this?
Yeah. We got to know who won. She, all right. So this is, she enters for the second time.
Let me go to Grok. Grok. Who won Miss Hancock 2025?
Let's see. She could go.
There is no record of a Miss Hancock 2025 pageant or winner in the provided information and general knowledge. The term Miss Hancock seems to be confused with other context.
See, I'm reading on Google AI.
Yeah.
Says Jordan Hudson won Miss Hancock 2025. She represented her hometown. She was crowned Miss Hancock and will compete in Miss Maine 2025. But I think
all
we would
right,
have
so
seen
she
some
already
news
won
on
Miss
that.
Hancock.
I don't know. I feel like we would have seen news on that if that was real.
Well, she won it in 2024, so maybe Google AI is taking that and just thinking it's this year. But, I mean, someone had to be there.
Let me ask you a question. Do you have the Miss Maine pageant entrance?
Let me check that out.
Let me ask Rock.
Who is entered in Miss Maine 2025?
Who is entered in Miss Maine 2025 pageant? Yeah, I want to be more, you know.
Got anything?
Let's see.
Grok's coming up short here. Twice in a row.
For context, 2024 Miss Maine USA was Mackenzie Perdue.
Okay, well, we don't need that.
I don't see it. They don't tell me.
This is confusing.
There are relevant web pages, so.
All I want to know is when Miss Hancock happened, and did Jordan Hudson repeat as champion of Hancock?
Well, it's now taking me to the Miss Maine USA website. What do we got here?
Now, on the Miss Maine website, you can vote for your favorite contestant, and they would be crowned the People's Choice at Miss Maine. And Jordan Hudson is one of the people you can vote for.
Ah.
All right, so, man, you got...
this year's contestant.
You got Shelby Banger.
I just met her.
Samantha Alna. I mean, yeah, there she is.
Yeah. Yeah, there's your dear Hancock. So she won it already.
Oh,
she,
so you know what that is?
What's that?
So Hancock, obviously, is the city in which she won. She looks great there. That's a great picture of her.
Yeah, I mean, it's totally, like, it's a big filter there. These other contestants, you could tell, more natural. But she's got
oh,
all...
Oh, come on.
There's more natural pictures.
I mean, there's a lot of very, very attractive... Well, of course, it's a, you know, come on.
It's a pageant. You know,
you got Lexi Bjork from Greenville.
Bjork.
Hannah Trottier-Braun.
I'm going to vote here for Jordan Hudson for Miss Maine. I can vote as many times as I want, too.
Really?
So here we go.
But it's a dollar each vote.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Oh, never mind. One.
It's a dollar each vote. By the way, yeah, the one that has... So they actually give you the vote totals right now underneath?
Yeah.
You see that?
Yeah, I do.
So Jordan Hudson right now...
only has four votes.
Only has four votes. The leading vote getter right now happens to be Ariana De Jesus.
Okay. How many does she have?
She has 848 votes.
Wow. The De Jesus has came out big. How does Jordan Hudson only have four votes? I mean, Belichick's got to just dump $1 million into this website and then vote her a million times. Poor Mia Turk here, zero votes.
Yeah.
That's not good. Oh, Jordan's got 20 votes, actually.
Now she's got 20 as we speak.
No. I think that we read the four votes under her, and it's actually above.
Well, then I see 750 votes.
No. I got...
Is that...
Oh, no. Yours is under. Mine is over. It's a different
oh,
thing.
Oh, I see. So mine's under.
Yeah. So it is four votes. All right. So Miss Hancock is in 1 week, 2 days. All right. So it's on a Saturday or Sunday, right? So it's next week. Sunday, May 11th, 10 a.m.
Sunday, May 11th, 10 a.m. is when it is?
Yep. That's when the voting will take place, and then the pageant's later that day, I guess. There you go. We should go.
We should go?
Yeah, we should go up there. I think that would be awesome. Because you know Bill's going to be there. He'll see you. I see the picture.
Yeah, I mean, the picture of her is unbelievable. It's great.
Yeah, Cumberland County is a little more my speed. I also like Bjork.
You like Bjork?
Yeah, not a bad one there. And there, I mean,
how about Lewiston?
You can't go wrong here.
How about Lewiston?
Lewiston? Yeah, Lewiston. A little businessy for me.
Okay.
But still beautiful.
A little businessy?
Yeah.
Why? Because she's wearing a pantsuit?
Yeah. It's like a boardroom spot. Yeah.
All right, so she already won Miss Hancock. Then
again, back-to-back. Congratulations to Jordan Hudson on repeating as Miss Hancock. Wonderful job. And now we'll see if she can take Miss Maine this time.
Christina Johnson?
Christina what?
I was thinking of the woman who won Miss USA when I did it.
Oh, okay.
I want to say something, maybe Christina Johnson.
I don't know. Just look in your phone. You probably got her number in there.
No, I don't.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
You know, now all of a sudden I can't get on the Miss USA website. Miss Maine USA website. Can't get on there, Al. Can you get on there?
I cannot get on there.
And what is going on?
I think we crashed the Miss Maine website. Because mine just went service unavailable. Maintenance downtime or capacity problems.
Well, hopefully everybody's voting for Jordan and they're raising a lot of money.
I mean, that is nuts. Crash the Miss Maine USA website? I mean, it has to be something to do with that, right? Us talking about it. I mean, all of a sudden it's...
What does this have to do with Hancock? All I hear is you guys saying that.
Well, Jordan Hudson won Miss Hancock, yeah, which is a town in Maine, and then they all bring all the winners together, and then they have a Miss Maine contest.
So she advances from
that.
And
then the winner of that then goes, this is a Miss USA. It's not the Miss America deal.
Right.
It's separate, so it's a Miss USA deal.
Yeah, so she won in Hancock and then moves to Miss Maine. Yeah.
Hence all the talk about Hancock.
That's right. And as I said yesterday, from Hancock to Old Cock. Just couldn't help myself. Again.
Got it.
Yeah. Because you get it, because he's...
How can you... I cannot believe I can't get into this website now.
You want to hear from Luke DeCock? He was on with Dan Patrick.
Yeah. Who was?
Luke DeCock.
Who's that?
Does he cover the NHL or something?
Oh, he does. He covers the Hurricanes, the Panthers, the Carolina Panthers, and North Carolina.
What's his name?
Luke DeCock. Can you be mature for a second?
No, we cannot. You can't ask us to be mature on a feel-good Friday. Hancock, Luke DeCock, Old Cock. Come on. We can't be mature.
He was on the Dan Patrick Show literally 2 days ago talking about this.
About what? Miss Maine?
Well, the whole Jordan Hudson, Bill Belichick thing.
Oh, okay.
I don't have to play it.
Play it.
So, and then I'll get back to the Knicks. So this was him, and he admitted that he has not covered this like he would because of the run the Hurricanes are on and what's gone on locally in sports. But he also made it clear that Jordan Hudson doesn't seem like your run-of-the-mill publicist right now.
At this point, would anyone be shocked if Jordan Hudson posted on Instagram, "I'm so excited Bill has decided to switch to a base nickel. This is going to be great for the football program." Like, no one would at this
point. And so here is where he's talking about how this Belichick situation, you know, with the perception, you know, smoke fire perhaps at some point.
UNC's brand is at stake here. They hired Bill Belichick to sell tickets and put butts in seats and eyeballs on screen as much as win football games. And when it becomes a sideshow, when your athletic department becomes a Jordan Hudson management program instead of a football program, that is when it becomes a story.
And that's when, you know, he says he's going to have to start covering it probably and start writing about it. But so far, his attention.
This has all come from this book situation.
Right.
That's where most of this has come from. If the book wasn't out there and this thing didn't happen with CBS News, would everybody be screaming and yelling about it?
No,
of course not. So it really comes from the book. It doesn't come. And I know she was on the field, you know, wearing that long jacket and the white boots and everything. She looked like she was the head of the cheerleaders.
Yeah.
That's kind of a weird look for sure. Yeah, I'm not saying that it's not. But if this book situation doesn't happen, then nobody's even talking about it.
Probably
not as much.
And I know one thing. Nobody's talking about, you know, Miss Maine USA.
Right.
And more people could be paying attention to that now.
I mean, the website has crashed.
It has crashed, completely crashed. It says error establishing a database connection.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering if ESPN2 is going to cover it.
Oh, that'd be genius if they did. How about CBS Sports Network? They should cover it.
Oh, Miss Maine?
Yeah, and then just play it while Al and Jerry are on from 5 to 6.
Well, I mean, they played cards this morning, so.
Was it actually poker or was it like go fish?
No, it wasn't. It was poker.
It was just a bunch of random guys playing Uno with their kids.
Be better than the 1976 strongman competition they run sometimes.
Oh, that was a good one that year.
Yeah, that was a good one.
That was a really good one.
Oh, man. Knicks Pistons last night. So you had this. This has been going on throughout the course of the series. And Mike Breen explaining what he's hearing.
The crowd chanting, "Flopper, flopper."
Yeah, that was towards Jalen Brunson. Well, the flopper got the best of the Pistons and their fans.
Brunson puts up a three. Bang! Bang! Jalen Brunson hits the three with 4.3 remaining. And the Pistons call timeout.
Yeah, but to know
that has got to be the most unbelievable feeling for a player.
We blew the tees because we were so wrapped up in Hancock. I'm sorry, everybody, that's waiting for
the... What's the matter?
I teased before your update. I was going to give the horse guys Kentucky Derby pick, and we got sidetracked. So I got people yelling at me on X here. I'm sorry. You want to deliver it this year, Boomer?
I know. I'll let you deliver it.
Click clack.
This is this.
Who?
Click clack.
No. This is from our horse guy who got it right last year, and we co-signed this. We put our name on it.
What we should do before we announce it? Can you look at the odds for this horse? I want to see if our announcement affects the odds.
Well, no, it's the Kentucky Derby. That's not going to happen. There's so many people betting on that. So the horse guy's prediction, Kentucky Derby winner will be Sovereignty, the 18. The 18 horse. Sovereignty is this year's pick from Horse Guy, who won a lot of money last year. Gamble at your own risk. Be careful. Don't bet more than you have.
Don't bet over your head.
Don't bet over your head. But if you want to put $5-$10 on sovereignty to win, you might get a little something back.
Who owns sovereignty?
Hoo-ah.
You know?
Hoo-ah.
Who's the trainer?
I don't know. Sovereignty's, what, 5-1, it says?
5-1. Bill Mott. Bill Mott.
Okay. Love Bill Mott.
Jose Alvarado's riding.
Okay. There you
He's
go.
He's a closer. He's a closer.
Joe Bravo on any of those horses?
Joe Bravo. I don't see Joe Bravo anywhere. Let me see. Hold on. No, I don't see him anywhere.
All right. Sorry, Jerry, but I promised the
That's
people.
That's all right.
Promised the people. Sovereignty. And I forgot about it. Sovereignty.
Sovereignty at 5-1. I mean, that's the favorite, right?
The 18 horse. No, it's not the favorite.
It's not?
No. Favorite is somebody else. I forget.
Oh, journalism.
Yeah. There you go.
What's
there
that? 2-1? 3-1?
3-1.
Hmm. All right. Here was Josh Hart as his team fought through and got this series clinching win.
We're a tough group. Everyone likes to paint us as not. But we're a tough physical group. This was a physical series. It was a grueling series.
But they were the ones that got it done. Here was Karl Anthony Towns dealing with the physical nature of the Pistons.
You know, we had to learn how to adjust. The series has shown a lot of 90s basketball. But you also understand that it could flip at any moment. So I thought we did a good job of coming out tonight, adjusting, making the changes we had to.
And advancing, where they will take on the Celtics in the conference semifinals. Game one will be Monday night in Boston. Meantime, the Clippers beat the Nuggets 111-105. James Harden, 28. Kawhi Leonard, 27. A tough loss for Nikola Jokic, who says, quite frankly, we were bad after the break.
The whole third quarter, we were not really disciplined. Both sides, we were not really into anything in offense. And defensively, we every like 50-50 ball, every offensive rebound, it kind of went to their side.
And so that series tied 3-3 with a Game 7 upcoming. Also, you got Game 6, the Golden State Warriors and Rockets tonight. Lakers GM Rob Pelinka and head coach J.J. Redick with the media on Thursday. Here was Redick. Read between the lines if you'd like.
This is Boomer's favorite quote of the year.
I figured.
He was texting me this last night.
We aren't there just yet.
Have a ways to go as a roster. And certainly there are individuals that were in phenomenal shape. There's certainly other ones that could have been in better shape. That's where my mind goes immediately is you know, we have to get in championship shape.
See, that's what I see when I see a fat Luka running around. Now you know why the Mavs traded him.
They were in the NBA Finals last year.
Yeah, but then he kind of lost his way maybe a little bit. I don't think he was as fat last year.
Maybe.
And plus you had to pay him $345 million, Jerry.
I'm well aware. Yes, I'm well aware.
And listen, you can say whatever you want about J.J. Redick. He ain't wrong. He sees these guys up close and personal. He knows what's going on. He got himself a fat Luka.
They also don't have a center.
Yeah, because they traded for a fat Luka.
here was Charles Barkley's plan for the Lakers.
They're going to have to find somebody to cover for LeBron and Luka.
Cover which way?
Defensively. Because LeBron don't play defense anymore.
Okay.
Luka can't guard a chair.
Why is that?
He doesn't want to.
Maybe because he's fat.
Well, Jalen Brunson doesn't guard anybody either.
That's true.
He puts up 40 points and makes a key shot.
So does Luka usually.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
But I mean, you see like Rudy Gobert go up and go right around Luka to go get a rebound. I mean, I know he's much bigger than Luka, but Jesus.
I mean, you hate this guy.
He does.
You despise this man.
Yes, he does.
I'm just calling it like I see it, man.
You get hyper-focused.
I know why the Mavs let him go.
You hyper-focus on dudes.
It's the same reason why the Jets let Mekhi Becton go.
He was another guy. He's going to eat himself out of the league.
Now he's a Super Bowl champion.
Yeah, but then what did he do? He came back. He was more mature, and he took care of himself. He actually took care of his body. Problems happen when you're fat. I'm telling you.
And you were sober when you said that.
I know. Listen, all I'm saying is that when I saw J.J. Redick say that, I couldn't wait to send that to Gio.
All of a sudden, J.J. Redick is the greatest thing ever, and we agree with him.
Well, he
is the coach in the league.
I'm not saying that he's a great coach. I'm just saying he's the guy that's up close and personal, played the game, knows more basketball than I'll ever know, and he sees
he'll let you know about it, too.
Fine, but he sees the players up close and personal. He's coaching the guys.
He's getting fatter.
Oh, man. So Luka likes his beers, and LeBron likes his wine.
Mm. And LeBron's 40.
Okay. I mean, how long are we gonna let him play?
Let him play?
Yeah.
I don't know, but here's Rob Pelinka, who's going to do whatever has to be done.
He's a completely selfless leader, and I think we saw that in this playoff series, moving to playing more off the ball and committing to the defensive end. And I think it's just a testament to his championship DNA.
And said he will get whatever LeBron wants.
All right, so
in terms of players.
Charles Barkley says he doesn't play defense, and Rob Pelinka is telling you he does play defense.
And Pelinka's not going to say anything bad about LeBron.
So what is it? What is it, Jerry?
I think LeBron still plays at a very high level. I do. Watching him, I don't watch him every night, surely, but I've seen him enough where he does play. Yeah, at his age...
Of course, he's like a freak of nature.
He is, very much so. Mets lost to the Diamondbacks 4-2. They're in St. Louis tonight. Clay Holmes, the start. The Yankees were off. They are home for Tampa tonight. It's on the Fan at 7:05. Remember I played this Malik Nabers clip a couple of hours ago talking about getting upset when you don't get passes?
You might have four receivers out there on the field. Like, everybody expecting to probably get a ball. Plus, now on top of that, if you don't got four receivers, you got a tight end, he's still running a route. You might get a running back, he run out. So it's five people out there running a route now. And you told me I was going to get the ball, I'm getting open, and I'm not getting that pill, we got a problem.
We got a problem, dog.
All right, so this is on the Carmelo Anthony podcast. The reason I play it again is I went and watched the podcast to see why he said what he said. Here is what came just before it and why he would get upset.
For us, is only so much opportunities.
And for us, he means wide receivers.
For us, is only so much opportunities that we have to do what we need to do. Mm-hmm. And when you tell a receiver he's going to get about seven catches a game, we calculate that in our head, that's about 100 yards. I need that for my 1,000 yards. I need that to be in a Pro Bowl. I need that to get in a bracket to where I can get paid.
He's right. That is so true. I mean, I'm not questioning that. He did have 109 receptions last year, right?
Yeah, 1,200 yards.
So he had a good year last year, given the quarterback situation of the Giants.
I would say so.
I would like to think he's going to have a better year this year.
And here was Paul Bissonnette on TNT.
Wearing a yellow shirt, by the way.
And they were riding him for that.
Can you explain this, though?
This is my lucky yellow shirt. I got it on a bachelor party last summer for my buddy Daniel Maynard.
Was it white originally?
What?
Was it originally white?
Ace?
Okay. Don't you start with
me. Now, Daniel Maynard did not give me my wonderful yellow shirt, but I'm glad to see that.
I got to tell you, when I saw him last night with that yellow shirt and that Toronto Maple Leaf tie, I was thinking of you.
That's fine.
My first thought is, I'm like, what is Bissonnette doing?
He's wearing a lovely shirt
out of Jerry Recco's book.
It's a great shirt. Not sure why you have a problem with the shirt. It's a good-looking shirt.
It's a little bit bigger than you, and the shirt looks a little bit better on him. I think for a short guy, a yellow shirt's not good.
Oh, so you got to be tall to wear a yellow shirt?
I think it's better if you're tall, yeah.
Mm. Okay, well then I will make sure that I get you a yellow shirt for Christmas.
What if you're fat like Luca? Can you wear a yellow shirt then?
You see he's wearing that yellow jersey. You can see how fat he is.
Oh, my God. And the Rangers on the verge of hiring Mike Sullivan, according to multiple reports.
Get it done!
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network on this Feel Good Friday. Talking Knicks all morning long. We'll get back into them at 9 a.m. Want to join the show, get your calls in on Jalen Brunson last night and what you think about the Celtics series, 888-808-1019. We'll get those calls in. I do want to talk to you, though, about this imminent Mike Sullivan hire, where it's not a matter of if, but a matter of when, it feels like right now, as the Rangers find their man, a guy who's familiar with the organization, a guy who spent 10 years in Pittsburgh, two Stanley Cups. I mean, from my perspective as not a Ranger fan, I don't think you could do any better than Mike Sullivan, and I would imagine that this is going to fire up the fan base.
Yeah, I said that when they fired Peter Laviolette, I was hoping maybe for Joel Quenneville, but that was not going to be in the cards. And then when Mike Sullivan did come loose that day that we announced this, that you got to sign him if you are the Rangers. It's kind of like bringing Pat Riley to your team. And the reason I say that is because he was an assistant under John Tortorella when the Rangers were having a nice run, and Chris Drury was on that team. And they're both BU guys. They both know each other. You know, Grusdale, obviously, in Pittsburgh. Mike's going to sign a huge contract for the Rangers. I don't want to speak for all Ranger fans, but I would say predominantly most Ranger fans probably like this. I would think so. I mean, I like it. And because I want a real coach. I want a real coach getting into that locker room. Knows Jim Dolan. I'm sure Jim Dolan likes him. Chris Drury obviously likes him. And he's a serious hire. It's like really getting behind somebody that gives you an immediate credibility of who you're bringing in.
Yeah, I mean, and everybody loves him out there. I know that for a fact. He was there just as I was leaving there, but just talking to my friends that are still there in the media, he's just one of those guys that they hate to see go. I think they understand why. But I think a fresh start for him is going to be perfect in a place like this that needs, I mean, these guys need a little bit of a push. I mean, there was a shakeup with the roster. It's still the core there. Superstar players. And this could be the elixir to get them going back in the right direction.
You just want somebody that, you know, has dealt with superstars, because he dealt with big superstars out there. I mean, Hall of Fame guys.
Yeah.
You know, maybe the Rangers have a couple that may go down that path. We'll see. But, you know, he'll have a great goalie standing in front of everybody. He'll hold, hopefully, people accountable to come back and play a 200-foot game if they are forwards. And he'll get the defense straightened out, and they'll figure out, I don't know what kind of defense he plays, whether it's man-to-man or zone. I'm not really sure. But we'll figure all that out. And remember, he was with Torts. The game has changed since Torts was here. You know, these guys don't like blocking shots, man. It hurts.
Yeah.
And, you know, guys break ankles, break feet, like Jacob Trouba. Things happen like that. But, you know, you want the players to understand that you are serious about the expectations for your roster and the expectations for each of these players. And the first thing you do is you hire a guy that has a resume like his.
Yeah, absolutely. So definitely celebrated hire by the Rangers fans. And then, you know, you hear that Joe Micheletti also stepping away from the broadcast booth. So it's going to be a real different sounding broadcast. You know, Kenny Albert's going to do a great job. Not sure who Joe's replacement will be. As you mentioned, you believe that this was Joe's choice to step away. He's been doing it for a long time.
I do, and I love Joe. And I was like most Ranger fans. We all love John Davidson. We all love Sam and JD together. And we were all wondering whether or not they were going to be able to find the right replacement for that some 19 years ago.
Yeah.
And it took a little while for us to get used to him. But I really like Joe. And, you know, he was critical this year when he needed to be, which I appreciated because, you know, that's a propaganda spot. You know what I mean?
And
I understand that you're working for the local team on the local network that is, you know, that owns the team. So you got to be very careful about, you know, rubbing people the wrong way. And that's one of the reasons why I know that there are some people like Butch Goring and don't like Butch Goring, but when I watch Islander games, he's not afraid to criticize.
No.
You know, so I do appreciate that and respect that from a broadcasting standpoint, especially when you're doing the home team.
Yeah, like when Wally says something negative about the Knicks, like off air, like they shock him, like we saw the other day. Like he said something about a player and his. And I was like, whoa. I was like, I've heard rumors about that. I didn't know it was true.
Yeah, there are ways to be critical without being over the top critical, like maybe you are if you are a national broadcaster.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if you're Shaq or Charles Barkley, or if you're somebody on the NFL Today or somebody on Fox NFL Today or whatever it is, you can be a little bit more critical because you're removed from the local teams.
Yep. And before we take a break and then get back into the Knicks, so yesterday Dave Portnoy announced that he is bringing a huge creator tournament to Big Cedar Lodge with all the YouTube golf creators with a prize that will be over $1 million. So all these guys.
So is the first prize $1 million or is it $1 million spread out over like the first five?
I think that it's for the winner. And he said it was $1 million and he said we're actually trying to get more than $1 million. So the invites are going out. It's going to be all the YouTube guys. They want, you know,
what's good the format?
Good golfers, bad golfers. The format's not out yet. Frankie Borelli said, you're going to wait till you see the format. It's going to be great. So they said like 30 to 60 guys. You know, it says well-known golfers, celebrity athletes, internet people with big money and big stakes chirping in your ear with $1 million on the line. So it's incredible. So they teamed up with the Bob Does Sports guys. So Dave Portnoy came together with Robbie Berger, Bob, Joey Coldcuts and Fat Perez to put this thing together, and they created a new company called the Internet Invitational.
Watch this. It's going to be bigger than anything else out there.
I think
you
so.
Watch, man. I'm telling you.
Hey, you don't need to tell me.
So the question is it going to be streamed or is it going to be on TV? What do you think?
They'll probably put it up live on their YouTube channel, Barstool.
I wonder if it gets more views than Live Golf. Because Live Golf is basically dying on the line when it comes to views.
Let me answer that question. It will by tenfold, 20-fold, because I already saw what these videos do as compared to the Live ratings. I mean, Live got more views when they played with the creators than they did on any one of their tournaments.
Right, so I'm talking about the initial live broadcast. You know, the one thing about the creators, you can go look at that whenever you want to look at it. I'm talking about the actual live broadcast of the event. And how many days is the event?
Don't know that either. It's going to be August 12th through the 16th. It's going to be a prize pool well over $1 million, as he said. There's going to be more information coming out, but they introduced it yesterday, saying when and where and the prize, and you'll get more information as it gets closer.
But I got to believe that this thing will get even bigger. You know, Noam Portnoy and the way that they're doing this right now, more people are going to hear about it. People like us are talking about it. It will get more and more attention, and I think they'll be able to raise more money for the prize package.
And they want golfers of all levels to use the handicaps as well, because, you know, not every creator is a good player. So I was thinking, you know, it's 30 to 60 people. You know, we might be somewhere on that list. You never know. I mean, we did play with Frankie and Trent. I talk about YouTube golf all the time. We did have Fat Perez on the show. Thinking maybe we get an invite to this. Huh?
Mm. Well, isn't that the weekend we're doing something else?
Maybe. If we got an invite to that, we'd have to switch some things up because $1 million on the line. We got to go play for $1 million.
We're not winning $1 million.
How do you know? Stop. Why not?
I know.
You could do it.
Dude, I'm 64 years old.
But you're playing with handicaps.
Do I get to play from the white tees?
Yeah. Damn right. That'd be awesome. And see, if I make putts like this at Glen Oaks, as we're watching on CBS Sports Network with the Foreplay guys, if I'm making putts like this, like I did in July with our caddy there, is tending the flag and then takes it out because he knows it's going in. It was already out, actually.
Look at you. Look at you.
Look, I'm fired up. Slapped you on the ass. Yeah. See?
Yes.
I could win $1 million by doing that, waving to the crowd.
I mean, it's insane. The whole thing is insane.
But I was on this. This is one of those.
That's going to be a good thing. I would watch that.
Yeah, of course.
Definitely would watch that.
Yeah, and this, you know, I'm going to do one of your, what did I tell you? A year ago, I saw this thing growing and growing and growing and growing and growing. Now to the point where Portnoy can see who's one of these business geniuses with men and you know, that are in the 20s, 30s and everything. He's all over this.
So you're a business genius.
No, he
with
is.
Men.
No. He is.
Oh, I thought you were.
No.
And I know you've been all over it.
No, what I'm saying is that I saw the trajectory of this, and now you're getting a business genius like Dave Portnoy who's putting a stamp on it.
Oh, I see. Okay.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not a business genius. Wouldn't be sitting here if I was. God's sakes. I'd be making some money somewhere else in an office building in a tie. I have a secretary and a phone, you know? Someone's bringing me my lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Supposed to drive it on the Sagdicos every goddamn day.